Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Coming up in about, I don't know, like 15 minutes, we're going to play Panic or Patience with teams in the National Football League. This is where I am with Lamar Jackson. I call it the video game principle. Now, for those of you that play video games, you know exactly the analogy I'm going to make. When you start playing a video game, let's say you start playing the video game on medium, and you get really good at the game. Now, you win the game every single time. Eventually, there comes a point in playing the video game that you have one or two options. You have to increase the difficulty of the game to just make it harder. That gives it a whole new challenge. Or you usually get bored with it and stop playing it. Those are really your two options once you get really good at a game. To continue that analogy, that's where I think Lamar is in the regular season. I think he has mastered the regular season. In fact, he is one of the best regular season quarterbacks that we have ever seen in the history of the National Football League. I think Lamar should have won the MVP award last year. That would have given him 3 in, what, 7 years? You cannot play better from August until New Year's Day than Lamar Jackson has. There have not been too many quarterbacks in league history that have been able to do that. Now you are at a crossroads. You either start winning in the postseason or face a lot of the criticism that comes with you not being good enough. I don't think there is anything Lamar Jackson can do in the regular season that would change your opinion of him. There's a bunch of other quarterbacks that's not the case. You guys love to call me Charger Dot. If Justin Herbert won NFL MVP this year and the Chargers won 14 games, some of you would just be like, okay, you would tip your cap. You got to tip your cap if you go out and you have one of those kind of seasons. That's a big time elite. You're a top 5 quarterback in the league kind of season. Lamar's done that before. He's done that multiple times. Josh Allen has also done that. He's done that multiple times, but neither one of those guys have come through in January, in February, that really, really counts. I can't really think of too many other players that's the case. I think there's 3 of those guys in the National Football League. I think it's Lamar, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott. There is nothing Dak can do to change your opinion of him in the NFL regular season. He's put together really good regular seasons. He's thrown for 4,000 yards. He's thrown for 30 touchdown passes. But Dak is not a quarterback that the public trusts once the games get really, really important to be able to elevate his team and take them to the next level. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. But that's where I think we are with the Baltimore Ravens. I just don't think anything they do matters anymore. I don't think people care. Sure, the Ravens might win this game. They might turn things around. They'll win 12, 13 games. They'll have a great regular season. And then once we get to the postseason, everyone will look at them funny and expect more and ask Lamar Jackson to do another trick and win. And that is the responsibility of you being a quarterback in the National Football League. But that's where I think we are. Rob, is there any other player that you would throw in this conversation? I think it's Lamar, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott, guys who cannot help themselves by having a great regular season. Jordan Love, if he goes out and Jordan Love throws for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions, We will start to have very different conversations about him as a player than we have now. Brock Purdy. There's some guys who, yes, they need to win championships, but just by playing great could just elevate themselves and put them in a very different conversation. I don't think there's anything Lamar could do in the regular season that would impress people. You've already seen it before. You need him to win unanimous MVP, he's done it before. You need him to run for 1,000 yards, he's done it before. You need the highlight all-time, he's done all of that before. There's one thing left in his career that he hasn't done. There's one box that is left to be unchecked, and you can't figure that out until after Christmas time.
I'm curious why you don't have Justin Herbert in this category. Now, maybe I am seeing this through the lens of I live in Kansas City. I do radio in Kansas City. I see the text line every day. I see social media every day. I see these things in Kansas City. But we talk about the Chargers a decent amount on the show because they are leading the Chiefs division. They beat the Chiefs earlier this season. So they come up a decent amount on the show. And whenever Justin Herbert and the Chargers come up on the text line, it is just wait, they will Charger. Justin Herbert will choke away games in the postseason. Who cares, guys? Justin Herbert has no postseason wins. Have you forgotten that stat? That is the sentiment I see on the text line and social media. So I'm open to the possibility. I'm seeing this through a Kansas City lens. But I think if Justin Herbert went 14-3 this year and won the MVP, Chiefs fans would not tip their cap and say, hey, I think you're a better quarterback than I thought. I think Chiefs fans would say, prove it to me in the postseason. I think he would fall into that Lamar category.
Yeah, and I think you're right in looking at it through that lens. But I think what makes it different for Herbert than makes it different for Josh Allen or Lamar is Justin Herbert hasn't had any regular season accolades before. That's where I just think it's a little bit different. I mean, Justin Herbert's never been an All-Pro before. Justin Herbert has never been in an MVP conversation before. So if Herbert now takes that level of jump, and that's why we used the analogy yesterday of what if this is his Matt Ryan year? What if Justin Herbert is 2018 Matt Ryan this year? He puts together that one great season. He wins that one-off NFL MVP, goes to his one-off Super Bowl. Like, we talk about Matt Ryan as a guy who can potentially be a Hall of Fame quarterback, largely because he had that one season in which he won MVP and got his team to the Super Bowl. Now, I don't think he is ultimately going to get there, but you get the point that it elevated his status. There's still things in the regular season that Justin Herbert can kind of do and check off a certain box. I don't think there's anything that those other players can do anymore in the regular season and check off what box. Justin Herbert's never won his division before. Like, we're talking about playoff games. You ain't never won your division before. That's not a Lamar or Josh Allen problem. You've never been an All-Pro. You've never been in the MVP conversation. So I'm with you. In Kansas City, it will be, we don't care about that because Chiefs fans only care about the postseason. That's not really the case for a whole lot of other fan bases that haven't had the postseason success that Chiefs fans have seen.
And I think, and maybe we're saying the same thing, we're just saying it a little differently. I think to your point about Herbert can check a division title, perhaps. Herbert can check a playoff win title, a playoff win box, perhaps. He can make check off an AFC title game appearance, maybe the Super Bowl. I don't know what's all in store for Justin Herbert this season or the future of his career. I do understand your point. I think he can check those boxes off. But I think even when he starts checking some of those boxes off, Chiefs fans specifically, maybe the rest of the NFL won't see this way, Chiefs fans will say, ho-hum, until you get to the biggest boxes. Like, I would imagine if Justin Herbert wins the AFC West this year and the Chiefs win their road game against the Jags in the first round,
yeah,
and then play the Chargers.
And sorry to cut you off, though. This is where I think that we're talking about Chiefs fans like KU fans. You only respect Final Fours.
I think Chiefs fans are KU fans.
I agree, but I'm saying is there's 30 other teams in the league that we're talking about. Yes, you only respect Final Fours. Going to the Elite Eight is a big deal for everybody else. It's a really big deal to go to the Elite Eight. Oh, that's cool. You made a run to the Elite Eight. Yeah, if you cheer for the Chiefs and for the last 5 years your team goes to the Super Bowl, then yeah, I see how you laugh at what winning a division title is. Because if you're a Chargers fan and your team wins a division title, you're buying the t-shirt to celebrate it. You don't know where your AFC West Championship t-shirts are. You're not celebrating that nonsense. So, yes, I agree with you. Chiefs fans will laugh at everybody else's accomplishments because they have accomplished all of those things. They got the MVPs and the Super Bowl. They haven't had to make an either-or trade over the last 5 years or so.
And that, you know what? That's the best way to describe it. Chiefs fans are KU fans. They will discount anything short of a banner. And you're right. I am seeing it through a Chiefs fan's lens. For the other 30 teams in the NFL, you're right. Some of these boxes Justin Herbert can still check. He will be viewed differently. He is probably going to be viewed differently than Lamar or Allen. You are correct. I got caught up in the town and the text line because Chiefs fans will scoff at anything short of, did you beat Pat and did you win a Super Bowl? Those are the only things Chiefs fans are judging people by.
Yeah, I would say, like, if Justin Herbert won MVP this year, we're done having the conversation of who the fifth best quarterback is in the National Football League. The answer will be Justin Herbert then, if that's the case. Like, definitively. Like, right now, I would say it's a little bit
over
up
Hurts?
In the air.
Definitively over Hurts?
If Herbert won MVP, I think it's a yeah. I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. He's given me no reason to think that we can look at him as the NFL MVP. I also think Herbert would get a lot of credit because we don't look at his roster the way we look at Jalen Hurts and his roster. There is a feeling with Hurts that you have been dropped off in the perfect situation. I don't think anybody thinks the Chargers are a perfect situation. Now, they got a great coach, but if the Chargers end up having a really good year, their quarterback is going to get a whole lot of credit for the season that they've put together. We can keep this conversation going on the other side. I also want to play a game of panic or patience with 1-2 teams in the National Football League. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just thinking about this, and I didn't mean to get us off on the Kansas basketball tangent. You guys don't even acknowledge Elite Eight teams. Like, you guys just never just sit around and be like, man, you know what, man? That, I don't know what year Kansas made the Elite Eight off the top of my head, but you guys just don't randomly sit back and just have those conversations about a team that was just really, really good but didn't go to the Final Four. If that team was at every other university outside of like four of them, that team would be remembered from now until the end of time. They would always bring that team back and celebrate them. There's no chance you guys would do that at KU. None. Just not a single chance. Hey, this team came in second in the Big 12 and went to the Elite Eight and lost in the Elite Eight to Duke. We're welcome. You guys wouldn't stand up and clap for that team. You guys just operate at a very different pace than everybody else.
You're telling me Perry Ellis' final team that lost to Villanova or Frank Mason that lost to Oregon don't get honored? You're not wrong.
No, not at all. You would never, ever talk about that team.
People look more fondly at Devontae Graham's college career because he made a Final Four than Frank Mason's when Mason was a better player, but that's not how we judge things at Kansas.
Someone said we talk about that, the 2020 team. No, you talk about that one because they didn't get a chance to go to the tournament because of COVID. That's a little different. I'm talking about the team you're talking to, the team that played, they played at Sprint Center, they played Oregon with Jordan Bell, and Jordan Bell blocked just about every single shot that came. You never spent any time talking about that team. That team was really, really good. That would be the best Missouri team they've ever had. That'd be the best K-State team they've ever had. That's not a team that you guys discuss at all at KU. You guys just live a different life than the rest of us.
So just to make sure I understand this correctly, you're telling me you think K-State fans wax poetically about that Jerome Tang team that Marquise Noel
1,000,
that lost to Florida Atlantic?
1,000% they do.
They lost to a 9-seed and they're in their, you know, college dorms or hanging out with their buddies, and they're like, and Aggieville, they're like, man, that Marquise Noel team, man, that was special.
Yes. Text line. Tell me. Yes. Marquise Noel will get his jersey retired off that one season that he had at K-State. He can come back forever and they will have a standing ovation for Marquise Noel. Yes. 100%.
100%.
Just boggles my mind.
I mean, I'm just saying, what makes him any different than Todd Reesing? What makes Marquise Noel different than Todd Reesing? And I'm saying is
Marquise Noel is a 1 year, basically a 1 year player, so it's a little bit different. But yes, I agree. I understand your larger point.
Yeah, and you agree. If Todd Reesing came back, standing ovation. You guys love Todd, and you should love Todd Reesing.
His name retired.
I'm just telling you that every other university has a Todd Reesing. Every single one of them didn't win a championship. Never won the Big 12. No, but you love and you should love Todd Reesing. Yes, Marquise Noel is their Todd Reesing. They have a couple. Jacob Pullen is their Todd Reesing.
Is Barry Brown and Dean Wade?
All right, here you go. Now you're starting to hate a little bit.
No, that team.
Now you hate.
They made an Elite Eight. Barry Brown and Dean Wade made an Elite Eight.
You said it was hating. You said it like you was hating on Dean Wade and Barry Brown. I didn't like your tone.
I was curious because no fan base hates Bruce Weber more than K-State fans hate Bruce Weber.
Okay, I'm just saying. This guy said Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson are heroes. That's what I'm saying. You got to think, if you are a K-State fan, that is one of the best years your team has ever had. That's like the 13th best year you've ever seen at KU. I'm serious. That's like the 13th best year. K-State going to the Elite Eight is one of the three best basketball teams you've ever seen in your life. So, yes, the best player on that team never has to pay for anything, ever, under any circumstance. So, yeah, just a little different. That's what I was saying. You're talking about the Chiefs. Like, yeah, I see why when you've been used to the absolute best and going to championships and winning championships, it's hard for you to understand what it's like when your team makes it to the second round of the playoffs. I mean, Rob, you grew up in Kansas City when the Chiefs beat the Texans in a wild card game. I never thought I'd see the Chiefs. It was a big deal when that happened. Yeah, a very, very big deal. So no, I'm just that happens just about everywhere else. All right, let's play a very simple game of panic or patience. Rob, you give me a team that's 1-2. I will tell you if I'm pressing the panic button for that team or if I'm going to show a little bit more patience.
Carrington, let's start panic or patience with the Chiefs' opponent on Sunday, the Baltimore Ravens. Are you going to stay patient with Lamar and the boys, or is it a five-alarm fire panic time up in Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm not going to press the panic button on the Ravens. I think they're too good at quarterback. I think they're too good at coach. I also think that their division is still mostly wide open. Cincinnati has an injury. I think Cleveland's one of the bottom five teams in the league. I know they just got a great home win. Cleveland is winning five games at the absolute most this season and pressing another reset on them as an organization. It's really between you and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I've seen the Steelers do this before. They get off to a really hot start in the first 8 weeks of the season, and then the weather starts to get cold and the leaves change, and then the Steelers turn into who they really are, a 9-8, maybe 10-7 team. I still think that's very much in play for the Baltimore Ravens. So win, lose on Sunday, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to hit the panic button just yet. I'm going to wait when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not pressing it.
So I am also not pressing it, but we're on the same page here. It's because their division is playing down, right? If Joe Burrow was healthy, I'd be in panic mode. But their division is kind of bad, so I stay patient as well. Moving on, Carrington, let's go to a team inside the Chiefs division that's 1-2. No, not the Kansas City Chiefs. We talk about them all the time. I'm talking about the Denver Broncos. The offseason darlings, or at least they are my offseason darling, they have started 1-2, and Bo Nix's numbers against good teams continues to get worse. Should Broncos country stay patient, or let's ride into panic town?
I don't know how you can press the panic button right now for the Denver Broncos. Their entire season is really based off one play. The Colts were kicking a 61-yard field goal, and the defensive player for the Broncos jumped over the center to try to block it. That's a penalty. They threw a flag. The Colts got another chance at a kick. So now it goes from a 60-yard field goal to a 46-yard field goal because of the 15-yard penalty. They then make the kick and you lose 29-28. So we'd be talking about a team where if you just put your hands up, they missed the kick. You're now a 2-1 team, and your one loss is on the road to the Los Angeles Chargers. So, no, I'm not going to press the button. Also important to note that four of the next five games for the Broncos are against the Bengals, Jets, Giants, and Cowboys. So there's a stretch for them to eventually get right. So no, I'm not going to press the button on the Broncos. They're still one of the teams. I'm maybe not looking at them as a team that can win the division. I didn't think that about them at the very beginning of the season. But they're a team that I think could grab either the sixth or the seventh wild card spot. They're still very much in that conversation to me, not pressing the panic button.
Let's talk about a team who last year won their division, and they are in the AFC. They were a team a lot of people thought could take that next step and compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm about the Houston Texans, who they are on this list despite being winless. They aren't 1-2. They are 0-3.
Who's not pressing the panic button for them? Please press the panic button.
I don't think you can press the button hard enough.
The button's broke. I hit the button so hard.
I mean, it's honest. Honestly, do you think the Texans are a playoff team is now a real question.
Playoffs? I mean, they're just trying to win a game. Their quarterback has 2 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions. He's been sacked 8 times. He has a 76 quarterback rating. We talking about playoffs? No, I'm pressing the panic button. What are you talking about? This team can't run the football successfully. They can't block their quarterback. No, I'm not talking about the playoffs with them right now. No, I'm pressing the panic button on the Houston Texans. Absolutely. They're the reason I came up with this segment, Patience or Panic, because I wanted to press the button for the Texans.
I mean, they are really bad.
Yeah, they're a bad team.
Did they get right this weekend against the Titans? I know you liked the Titans preseason.
I was wrong. That was a stupid opinion. That was a silly opinion. Sometimes I get things wrong, too. It don't happen a lot, but yeah, sometimes I'm wrong. I thought the Tennessee was going to be a lot better than what they are. They're bad. They're a 5-win football team.
Speaking of bad predictions, I was all in on the Patriots in the preseason. They're in this segment for Panic or Patience. They have started 1-2 with their only win being a nail-biter against the Miami Dolphins, who are in that same Titans category. Carrington, do you think Vrabel and Co. should panic or stay patient with the start to their season?
I mean, I'm going to say patience for the New England Patriots, but I think it's worth kind of keeping in mind what we're talking about. People were talking about the Patriots going from being a 4-win team to like an 11-win team. Why can't they just go from being a 4-win team to an 8-win team? So they're better. They're trending in the right direction, but they're not a team that we really need to be worried about. I think that's still very much in play for them. They got a game against Carolina. They can get back to 2-2. And then they got 3 straight road games at Buffalo, at New Orleans, at Tennessee. So why don't we revisit this conversation at the end of week 6 and we'll see where we are with the New England Patriots. We'll see where they stand. But I'm guessing that New England is somewhere between a 7-9 win team. Maybe they grab that playoff spot and they can get hot as that 7th wild card team. Or they're a team that's trending in the right direction. They feel better about their quarterback. And in year 3 with their QB, they're ready to take a little bit of a bigger jump. So I'm not going to press the panic button with them. I don't really think there's a reason to. They're not a contending team, but let's see if they're a good team.
I was very early returns are. I was wrong about the Patriots. I thought they would go from nothing team to contending team right away. I was all in on Mike Vrabel. I was wrong. Looks like I'm wrong. All right, Carrington.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything to be shamed about the losses they have. The Raiders are okay. I mean, that's a coin flip kind of game. You lose those games.
It's the way they lost both games
losses. Pittsburgh's just better than they are. Like, Pittsburgh's a better team than the New England Patriots. They're just further along in the process than where the New England Patriots are. So losing those 2 games isn't a big deal. Now, losing a home game to the Carolina Panthers, all right, that's a conversation that we can have if you lose a home game to them. There's no reason you're losing to the Carolina Panthers at the crib if you've taken that step forward that you're talking about.
Our final team, Carrington, and speaking of teams who have lost to the Panthers, our final team in Panic or Patience is the Atlanta Falcons.
You should have the panic button in your house if you cheer for the Atlanta Falcons. Why do you ever feel calm if you cheer for the Atlanta Falcons? Nothing. Can you tell me that?
I don't know, but nothing says calm with the organization like firing a wide receiver coach and bringing an OC down from the box. That'll change things. Should Michael Penix and Co. be panicked, or their division's kind of bad? Should they stay patient, or is it a 5-alarm fire?
If you get beat 30-0 by the Carolina Panthers, I don't care what your record is. You can be 12-0. And if you got beat 30-0 by the Carolina Panthers, I got to press the button because that's indicative of a much more serious problem. So yeah, I'm pressing the button. Just, you got completely outclassed. 30-0? I don't even know what's worse. The fact that Carolina scored 30 against you or you couldn't score against the Carolina Panthers. Both. To quote Shannon Sharp, capital B, capital O, capital A, capital F. Both. Yes, I'm pressing the panic button. I can't do that. I can't believe you even asked me a question like that. You're not pressing the panic button for the Falcons?
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm sure.
I think the organization is pressing the panic button. No, there is no move. I know fans love these moves, but nothing screams we're panicked more than random assistant coach firing and, hey,
for sure.
The guy who's calling the plays, he's now going to leave the box and be on the sideline. That'll cure the ills.
Now, I didn't hear the full context of this quote, so maybe this is just like a mischaracterization of what was said. But Michael Penix, when he did his media availability, said, quote, I got to throw the ball more to the wide open receivers when they're open. That, if your starting quarterback says that, you got to panic. It was like he unlocked things. That's like that time where Andrew Wiggins said he never understood that rebounding was so important. Remember when he said that? He was like, man, I realized I could use my athleticism to rebound. That's what the rest of us have been telling you since we saw you play basketball. Look how athletic you are. Why don't you go near the rim, jump up, and secure the ball for us? That'd be a great idea. Took him till year 9 in the NBA to figure that out. So maybe Michael Penix is on the right path. He's learning in year 2 that he should throw the ball to the open guys on his team. Yeah. That's actually, in fact, the best advice that I could potentially give you about being a starting quarterback in the National Football League. I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Adam Schefter. He was on his podcast. He believes that the pressure is on Lamar heading into Sunday's matchup.
This sets up a matchup between a flat, unimpressive Chiefs team and a Baltimore team that's lost 2 of its first 3 games at Buffalo, at home against Detroit. In Kansas City on Sunday, and as you mentioned, the loser goes to 1-3. Now, the pressure here, I think, rises on Lamar Jackson a little bit. This is the 7th time that the Chiefs and Ravens have met, and Patrick Mahomes has beaten Lamar Jackson 5 of those 6 games. The Chiefs are 5-1 against the Ravens in their last 6. This is the 7th meeting between the 2-time MVP is Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. The Ravens have lost 2 straight road games, too, which is a little odd. They don't lose very often like that. And they have looked vulnerable on defense. Nnamdi Matabike, their defensive tackle, has got a neck injury. And the Lions seem to exploit that on Monday night. And the Ravens' pass rush got 0 sacks on Monday night. 0 turnovers. Like, this is a defense that usually thrives on that. And they did not do any of that right now.
That was Adam Schefter on his podcast talking about the pressure is on Lamar for Sunday. I understand what he is saying. I think you guys would agree that the Chiefs right now are a little bit vulnerable. And the expectation is that they are going to be a far better team in a month or 2 months from now than the team that you are expecting to see on Sunday against the Ravens. They still haven't figured out how to run the football. This is the first game of them getting their wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, back. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a bit. You still don't have Rashee Rice. I think we can acknowledge that the Chiefs right now are not at 100% of what we think they're going to be. And the belief is that, sure, you might get the Chiefs on September 25th. You're not going to get them on November or December 25th. I think that's the feeling that you have. If that's the case, then if you're the Ravens, give me a better time than the present right now to pick the Kansas City Chiefs. Denny always talks to us about this during baseball season. Sometimes it's who you play, but sometimes it's also when you play them. Like, you want to play a team that's a little bit down. The Chiefs have not played very sharp, crisp football so far this season. I wouldn't want to play them if they get to that point. So I think his logic is, hey, while the Chiefs right now are playing a little bit uninspired, they're still trying to figure some things out, you kind of got to catch them at the right time. There hasn't really been a right time in the last 5-6 years of playing the Kansas City Chiefs, especially not in Arrowhead. There hasn't been a time at Arrowhead that you're thinking, all right, hey, this is the perfect time that you want to play Kansas City. I mean, this might be that time if you're the Ravens. So I do understand the logic if you're looking at it through pressure on Lamar and getting this one. Man, if you can't beat Kansas City on Sunday, like if you can't beat them in this matchup, what makes me now think that you can turn around in January and expect to come into Kansas City and win that matchup? So if you're Lamar, like you got to start answering these questions. You just lost to Josh Allen in week one. You lost to Josh Allen last year in the postseason. 2 years ago, you lost to Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. You lost to Josh Allen earlier. You lose to Patrick Mahomes in this one. Like, there's only two other elite quarterbacks that are healthy right now in the AFC. If you can't beat either one of those guys, then what conversation are we having now? You got to beat at least one or potentially both of them if you're trying to get to the Super Bowl on the back end.
Yes, I. This is why we talked about this earlier in the show, catch the podcast page. It's why I think this game is so much more important for the Ravens than the Chiefs. Like, I understand all the stuff with the Ravens, but I think there's maybe a mental factor that I'm underestimating. Because, like, the on the field, the standings, all those things, I do think the game's more important for the Chiefs. But you're right. If the Ravens are saying we have to overcome the mental hurdle, the mental block the Chiefs have on us, which... let's be honest, the Chiefs have a mental block on the Ravens and the Bills. They just cannot overcome that team if you're those fans. So maybe that's where Nick and we had callers earlier say it, that the Ravens, it's more important and it's all mental. Because if you can't beat the Chiefs now, I don't know how you can convince yourself you're going to face them again in January and beat them then. I don't know how you can convince yourself that, hey, you're going to beat them later in the season and the game that really, really matters when they're at full strength. So maybe I was wrong to say the Chiefs are more important because I was looking at it from a standings and purely rational perspective, when the mental part of this is obviously a huge deal because the Chiefs just mentally crush these teams in games like this.
Yeah, to continue the Kansas basketball analogy from earlier that we were making in this hour, it's never going to be easy to win at Allen Fieldhouse, right? It's the most difficult place to play in college basketball. Man, if you were trying to beat KU at KU, man, last year was a year to do it. That was the season that you had a real good chance of walking in there and beating that KU team. You don't get a whole bunch of those in your life where you feel like you are the better team. You can walk into Allen Fieldhouse and leave with a victory. It was the year to do it. At least in week four, if you're going to catch Kansas City at the right time where the perception is that they are the better team, they being the Ravens in this, I mean, now's the time to do it. So there is pressure on Baltimore to come in and do this. The worst thing that I think could happen for the NFL is that the Chiefs are starting to figure things out and get healthy at the same time. If you're the rest of the AFC and this team has dominated you for the last 5 years and you got a chance to kick them while they're down, don't give them a chance to get back up, especially if you're one of the teams that is in direct competition with them. Like, you can make things really difficult for the Chiefs when they get Rashee Rice back. They're 2-4 when he gets back. The Chargers are up. Hey, well, now they got to go on the road for all of their games. The worst thing that could happen to the NFL is they turn things around. They're now 4-2. They get Rashee Rice back. They're getting healthy. They're starting to figure out the roles for some of their guys. They get their offensive line assured. And then the Chiefs just go on a 10-1 run over an 11-game stretch, and they start playing really hot football. That's just not the position that you want to be in if you're the AFC. So I do understand the point on who is this game more important for, who needs it more. If you're talking about for the psychological standpoint of it, it is certainly the Ravens from that. You got to catch Kansas City when you catch them, and right now just could be one of the best times that Lamar has had to come into Kansas City and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, I want to share a story with you guys that affects just about all of us. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
All right, I want to get back to very serious sports things here coming up in a bit, but I want to share this story with you guys because I'm not sure if you've seen it. So the CEO of Ticketmaster did a recent interview on CNBC. And it is important to note that the CEO of Ticketmaster, his net worth is quickly approaching $1 billion. I'm assuming that's just off the fees that they have us pay. Like, I'm assuming that he doesn't even take a salary. They just pay him directly with all of the fees. Like, wait, hold on. You're telling me that I can't physically get a ticket, but you were going to charge me to then email the ticket to me? And now I got to pay a fee to the... It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I hate Ticketmaster. Of all the companies, Ticketmaster might be number one on my list of people that I despise. But this is why I want to share this quote with you. So he was talking to a group of people, and he said that music tickets and concerts have long been underappreciated. And he said, and I quote, "In sports, I joke like it's a badge of honor because I spend $70,000 for a Knicks courtside seat. But people beat me up when I say that we only charge $800 to see Beyonce." These people just don't get it, do they, Rob? They just don't get it. Now, maybe you're not a big music person. I like going to concerts. Rob, you like going to concerts. One of the joys is that we all have seen a band or an artist that you love back in the day for real cheap. I'm sure text line 913-586-7965. You guys could tell me some great stories about a small venue where you got a chance to see somebody for $20, $30, $40. They have absolutely priced out the everyman when it comes to concerts and these experiences, especially if you want to sit in a good seat. Think about what it is now for you to go to a concert or a comedy act. Didn't you go see, what's that guy's name? Nate, what's his last name?
I saw Nate Bargatze, yep.
How much did you pay on the tickets?
I paid for my section around $85 a ticket.
So think about this.
That's, by the way, that's pre-fees.
That's the thing. So think about this. So let's say it ends up being with fees around $105 a ticket. So it's $105 a ticket. They want you to buy merch, so they're going to hit you for $40, $45 for the t-shirt. You got to get something to drink while you're there. So you get something, she gets something. They're going to hit you for another $16 to $18 a drink. I imagine you paid to park. You got to pay to park. All in all, just as a floor in going to one of these events, they're going to hit you for $300 to $350. And you want me to do this 2-3 times a month to see all these different acts? Who can do this? And then he's sitting here laughing like, oh, I mean, in sports, I mean, I pay $70,000 to sit courtside for the Knicks. And now people are mad that we charge $800. Like, what? I'm telling you right now, Ticketmaster, they are evil. I'm serious. The people that run Ticketmaster are evil that they've done this to us. It's ridiculous. I don't like them. I really don't like them. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe you guys think that I'm just complaining to complain, and maybe that's fine. I hate them. I really do. I don't like them in any capacity. They just don't get it. They really just don't get it.
I truly don't understand, and Ticketmaster is the first team All-American culprit of this.
They're the worst.
Why do I get charged to buy the ticket off your app and have you email it to me?
Makes no sense. They do that all the time.
I got it. Like, I disagree with it at the time, but like, hey, you got to find a way to get me the physical. I don't like that you charge me for that, but I get it.
I don't mind paying for that.
It's in my email. All I have to do is hit forward, and I just download it into my Apple wallet. Why am I being charged? And by the way, it's not like, you know, it's 84 cents or something. I'm being actually charged to receive an email. It's nonsense.
Yeah, and then it's no sense. And then we all have been in a position where you try to get a concert ticket. Like, they tell you the tickets go on sale at 12 o'clock. Then you get inside the portal. It's like 1207. And now all the tickets that they're selling you are now resale tickets. Like, hold on, wait, how did all these tickets get sold? It's like Ticketmaster buys them at face value and then turns around and then scalps them to you. It's evil. It's shady. If there's one company that we need to be regulated in a system that just needs to be better, it's them over at Ticketmaster. They've been stealing from us for years. They've been stealing.
I also think it works both ways with Ticketmaster. Why I hate them as a buyer, I hate them as a seller. Like I have KU basketball season tickets. I will sometimes put my tickets on the market because, you know, it's a 6 o'clock game. I can't go. Whatever the reason, I will put them on the market for, let's just say, $50, just for a clean number. I'll then check the app. They're selling, I know they're my tickets, they're in my section, they're in my row, for $78. Where did that extra $28 come from, and do I get it once the tickets sell? No, I get my $50 per ticket back. Like, where are these made-up imaginary fee numbers popping up, and why does it feel like the seller never gets the benefit of the doubt?
No, never. Someone on the text line says, just stop paying it. It's that simple. Then you just can't go to anything. Almost every show that you go to, either Access runs the tickets or Ticketmaster runs the ticket. That's it. So you just can't go anything. You just never plan on going to another Chiefs game. They do their tickets through Ticketmaster. So you just can never go do anything. Like, I hate dealing with Ticketmaster. I also like going to things. So I got to deal with them. Or I guess you're going to go through another one of those services. But, I mean, StubHub, they're all the same to me. They're all the same. Ticketmaster, I'm telling you. They're the absolute worst. So we have been talking about this today. We'll get to it more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Nick was on First Things First, and he was asked the question, who needs Sunday more? Is it the Chiefs or the Ravens? Here's the answer that Nick gave.
The Chiefs would like to win. The Ravens need to win. And it like Kansas City is in a spot where once they lost their first two games and knew they had Baltimore in week four, it's like, all right, 1-3 is very possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, 1-3 is more than on the board here, and we have reason to believe things can get better once Rashee Rice gets back, and we have reason to believe that things on the defensive end are already trending in the right direction. I also think Kansas City has not been embarrassed this year. I thought they played really poorly in week one, and they were in it. I thought they played fine in week two as far as overall team, and I think should have, could have won that game. I don't think they left the Eagles game frustrated, angered, but not like, the hell's, you know what I mean? Yeah. What the hell's wrong with us? I think Baltimore has been in two different ways embarrassed this year, and the one win they had, I don't think they felt great about. Like, the losing to Buffalo the way they did, maybe embarrassing is the wrong word, but concerned.
It was just disheartening.
Disheartening, I mean,
they gave that
and one away. Having Detroit run all over you the way they did in your building and kind of, you know, more alpha male you in a football sense can be demoralizing. And for that team with that DNA, as you talk about, embarrassing.
We'll talk more about this coming up in the hits about who needs the game on Sunday more. We'll also give you the stats. It would appear that Xavier Worthy is going to play on Sunday for Kansas City. That is a big positive for the Chiefs offense. We'll also hear from the offensive line coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, who was asked questions about Jawan Taylor. We got a lot coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Don't miss it. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.